privilege for me to be here with you this morning, and I appreciate very much the humble prayer that's been offered by my good friend and yoke fellow in the ministry for many years, Brother Harry. And it's a great privilege to see all of you, my friends and kindred in Christ. Oftentimes, I fear that we come to the house of God just expecting rather than asking. I know that's my case. And there are times when that I feel like that the Lord is not near me. I don't know whether y'all have had that experience or not. Tried to pray, Brother Virgil, and it seemed like that it didn't go any further than the top of the house. And yet there are other times when I felt the Spirit of God so strong that I could reach up and almost touch the face of God. But that is the experience of the child of God. Life is a pathway of hills and valleys. And in that regard today, I ask that you pray for me. I ask that you pray for one another. Because there are many that have asked and said, when you pray, remember me. Pray for yourselves, pray for this church, pray for God's people, wherever they may be. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. You know, they can take the prayer out of schools, but they can't take the prayer out of your heart. And that's one blessing that we have, that men cannot take away from us, that we can retire into our own closet of prayer with our heart humbled by God's amazing grace and offer up a petition that no man may know about, but yet God hears. And how thankful we ought to be for that today. That being said, I want to read to you from the book of Psalms this morning and remind you as I read that throughout all the book of Psalms, there are times that David spoke literally as Christ.
Yep.
And from chapter 1 through the rest of the book of Psalms, time and time again, the word, hear my prayer, is mentioned. My supplications came before the Lord. And without belaboring you with that point, I hope that as opportunity may be afforded you that you could go through and just see how the book of Psalms could be also called a book of prayer. And I refer you this morning to Psalms chapter 6 and verse 9. One verse. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. What a statement that you would generally read across. I know I've done that. But here I submit to you that David is speaking as Christ himself. Go to chapter 22 and you hear about the crucifixion that David alludes to. And the very words that Jesus spoke on the cross are spoken here in verse 1. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Only two places that's mentioned in the Bible. Here in Psalms 22, and Christ had not been born. And there in the Gospels, when Christ went to the cross, one of his sayings was, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night seasons, I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, these kind of things oftentimes escape our attention, but when we began to put the pieces of that puzzle together, you find that from Genesis to Revelation, it is a complete revelation of the history of God's wisdom in the plan of redemption. Not only is it found in Genesis when he alludes to the seed of the woman, but here in the book of Psalms, he speaks as Christ, the Lord hath heard my supplication, the Lord will receive my prayer. And this morning, I want to talk to you about prayer, all right? We need to pray for one another, as I think I've mentioned. But I want to talk to you specifically about three prayers that Jesus himself prayed. The prayers of Jesus, three of them. There are others, but I'm going to talk about three of them for the time that I've been allotted this morning, and hopefully you'll pray for me that the Lord would bless me and bless you together. One of them is a time in the book of John when Jesus had come to some very special friends of his, where Lazarus has died and Mary and Martha had sent for the Lord Jesus to come. Now, I want to read to you, and I recognize this is very familiar to you Bible readers, but I want you to notice one thing in particular, and I have to be particular about this because the Bible is very particular about it. Now, a certain man was sick. Now, when you read the word certain in the four Gospels, you remember this, that this is not a parable. This really, historically took place during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because any time that you read that something certain happened, it is literally and historically true. When the Bible talks about a parable, the Bible calls it a parable. Or a parallel with a teaching. But here, now, a certain man was sick. You remember, Brother Virgil, when the Bible said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This literally and actually happened. Now, a certain man was sick, and he identified him by name. Named Lazarus, said where he lived, and talked about his kinfolks. Lazarus lived in Bethany, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And this is so particular that Jesus used a parenthetical expression here to describe that Mary. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick.
Yeah.
That's how particular and historical this is. And his sisters sent to him, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now I want you to notice verse 4 in particular. When Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man, Son of God, might be glorified." Somebody said, "Now, Brother Ricky, does all sickness glorify God?" I don't know about that. That's above me. But I'm telling you, this one did.
Yeah.
The Bible says so. The sickness is not unto death. Now, but Lazarus died. But they said the sickness, Jesus said it, and this is red writing. Jesus said the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And when he heard before that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. You know, I can tell you this, if somebody calls me and said, "Brother Ricky, we need you to come," and that's happened to me over the last 55 years very frequently, I want to tell you, I don't wait 2 days. I go right then, if it's at all possible. Yeah. That wasn't the case here. Strange, isn't it? Brother Virgil waited 2 days before he went.
Yeah.
Waited 2 days before he went. Now remember, the key to this whole thing is, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Now, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea. Let's make a trip to Judea." His disciples said, "Master, the Jews have laid down there, have sought to kill you. They're going to stone you, and now you're going to go again?"
Yeah.
Jesus answered and said, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? 24. Now, what do we call a day? We call it 24 hours, no.
Yeah.
That Jewish day was 12 hours. 12 hours. Went from 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the evening. 12 hours. Some say that it went from 6 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't find all that, and that may be correct, but I'm going to tell you, the Bible says here, from a certain time to a certain time was 12 hours.
Yeah.
12 hours in a day. If any man walked in the day, and I'm confirming that it was 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening, because it's day then.
Yeah.
It's day. In the morning, it's day. In the evening, it's day. But then comes the night. Now listen to it. This is interesting to me. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. Why? Because the sun shines.
Yeah,
he can see. That's right. He can see. Because the Bible says he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. And I think he's talking about the physical light of the sun.
Yeah.
But if a man walk in the night, listen, he stumbleth because there is no light in him or about him. These things he said, and after that he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." Then said the disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he does well." How many times have you ever talked about a lot of children here? They all go to sleep. Somebody said they all to sleep. They're doing good. Amen.
Yeah.
They're doing good. If he sleeps, he's doing good. Sleepeth, he does well. I don't have very good nights most of the time. About 2 o'clock in the evening, I get sleepy and I can sit down in my recliner and or prop my feet upon my office desk and I can get a good nap. If you don't believe it, those girls in the office got pictures of me dead asleep. They walked in there and caught me. Yeah, you know, and they got proof of it because that picture don't lie. I'm out like a lion. But here, Jesus said, this man sleepeth. But I'm going to go that I can awake him out of his sleep. So I said, Lord, if he's asleep, let him alone. He does well.
Yeah.
He does well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, spoke of Lazarus dying. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. You see, they looked at this thing as completely natural, Brother Virgil.
Yeah.
As completely natural. They never had a spiritual thought about what Jesus was saying here. Now listen. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And Thomas said, which is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, you know, Thomas, one of those folks that looked something wrong all the time. There are people like that. You know, Doubting Thomas, he's called. Thomas, who always looked on the dark side of things. Let us go, and if he dies, we'll just die with him. That's how he looked at things. If he didn't know nothing in the future that's very bright, but if he dies, we'll just die with him.
Yeah.
That's the only hope we've got. That's the only bright spot that we can say is there. If he dies, we'll die.
Yeah.
Then Jesus came and he found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days. Now Bethany was 15 furlongs from Jerusalem, about 2 miles. He could have walked over there in less than an hour, and he stayed away for 2 days because Lazarus was going to glorify God in what was taking place. Jesus was going to glorify God in what was taking place. And God's purpose, Brother Virgil, was going to be revealed in a mighty way that men did not expect nor could they understand. And that's how God works, my friend. In the work of the Holy Spirit, God works in ways that men cannot understand. When he speaks to the heart responds. When he speaks to the individual, a change is made. When he speaks to his own, they are brought from death unto life by the literal power and physical amendment of God that says they are mine. You come to me as I call. Many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. That's a Bible truth. That's a Bible truth. No man ever died in the presence of Jesus while Jesus lived. Somebody said, what about thieves on the cross? He died before they did. While Jesus lived, no man died in his presence. That's the Bible truth. Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. That's a Bible truth.
Yeah.
Now listen to it. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, I know we'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. You know what Jesus said? I am the resurrection and the life.
Yeah.
And the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Not he that will believe in me, but he that believeth. That's a positive statement of fact. He that believeth in me shall never die. Now I'll tell you, that's the truth.
That is.
I'll tell you, we may lay down in death, but there's something about us that does not die.
That's it.
Never die. That's the truth. It's called a soul. Now, I've got to hurry along with this, but they began to have this discussion and says, to them, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Shortest verse of the Bible, verse 35. Jesus wept.
Yeah.
Jesus wept. Jesus had a human side to him. He wept when his friend Lazarus had died.
Yeah.
His humanity came through. He wept. He cried. Somebody said, "Real men don't cry." That's a lie. That's a lie. Real men do cry.
Yes,
I'm glad to see it. I've seen it happen. Real men do cry. Jesus did. He was a real man.
Yes, he was.
And he cried because his friend died.
Yes.
Now, the Bible says here, notice what else he says, that those folks that stood there, and they were Jews, said, "Behold how I loved him." "Behold how I loved him." And some of them said, "Why could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind just a chapter and a half later, have caused this man that he not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself coming to the grave, and it was a cave with a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take you away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. After the third day the metamorphosis takes place.
Yeah.
After the third day, the metamorphosis or the change in form, the decay in the body begins. It doesn't start from the outside in, it comes from the inside out. That's how the decay takes place. From the inside out, not from the outside. The metamorphosis has begun to take place. And Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe that thou shouldst see the glory of God? Now, she's fixing to see it. She's fixing to see the glory of God. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That's what he said. And he's unfolding it now. Then they took away the stone where the dead was laid. And here's Jesus' prayer. All right?
Yeah.
Here's Jesus' prayer. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. What did he say? He will receive, what's our text say? And he will receive my prayer. Listen to this. I knew that thou hearest me always. And I'm not praying for myself, Lord. I'm praying because of these people that stand here.
Yeah.
Because of these people that stand here, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus came forth, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, I'll loose him and let him go. He didn't say, preacher, go down there and prop him up. He didn't say, go down there and preach to him and give a call. And if he'll answer the call, everything will be fine. No, sir. Jesus spoke and the dead responded.
Amen.
Then he told the preachers what to do. Loose him and let him go.
There you go.
You see? That's what he said. That was his prayer. Loose him and let him go. Lord, you've always heard me, but I'm not praying for myself. I'm praying that these here might see thy glory. And there they saw it. In the very next chapter, you find this same man that was dead eating at the table with them.
Yeah.
The glory of God had been seen. The glory of God had been revealed. He received his prayer. Why? Because God in the flesh called on God in eternity. And God said, I will not deny myself.
Yeah.
There's the key to that.
That's it.
Let me give you another one. Go with me to the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus now is coming to the close of his earthly ministry. He had just gave his disciples in that upper room the bread and the wine.
Yep.
And he broke that bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body."
Yep.
Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed." Now you get this next word here. "Which is shed for many."
Yeah.
Many. "Which is shed for many." Why? Because of the remission of sins. Put away.
Yeah.
"This is my blood that remitted your sins. And you stand washed today. And in that day, under the blood of the Son of God that was going to be shed in the future, just a few hours later." All right? Now, when they had sung a hymn, you know we do that. I've done it with you right here at Macedonia and other places. All of us have done that. We take bread, which is emblematic of the body of Christ. We do not believe that it actually becomes the body of Christ. That's called the doctrine of transubstantiation.
Yeah.
That blood actually becomes the blood of that wine actually becomes the blood of Christ, and that bread actually becomes the body of Christ. We don't believe that, but they are figures of his body and blood. They are emblems of his body and blood. And that's what he's not here with us today. But I want to tell you, in a form that men cannot devise, he is here with us. We partake of that bread, the broken body of Christ.
Yeah.
And that broken body, called the bread of life,
yes, it is.
By his own words. We read about it. But on certain times when we've met together, and the Bible says, "As often as you do this," however often that is,
yeah,
you do that, and in that you remember the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They're emblems or figures of what was real. Now, we're going to come on for the sake of time. And they sung a hymn, and they went out into the Mount of Olives. And in verse 36, Jesus comes to a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray yonder." Here he's praying. Here's his prayer. "Sit here while I go and pray." But he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. A while ago, I said Jesus was a real man. Brother Virgil, I'm going to tell you, I believe with every believing faculty of my soul that as a human, as the human side of the Lord Jesus began to be projected, that he dreaded the death that was before him.
Yeah.
But as the Son of God, it was for the joy that was set before him.
Yeah,
that's how you harmonize that.
Yes.
The humanity of Christ and the divinity of Christ.
Yeah.
Here Jesus comes, and he told some of these disciples, he said, "You sit here while I go and pray, but I'm going to carry with me, listen to this, I'm going to carry with me Peter and the two sons of Zebedee." But they began to be sorrowful and heavy, or that is depressed. Then saith he unto them, if you differ with me and in my humble but correct opinion, I want you to know this. He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrow."
Yeah.
"Even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me." Now he left some of them back there, but he told Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, "You stay right here." And you know what he said in verse 39? This jumped out at me. He went a little further.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus went a little further?
Amen.
Went a little further than where the preachers could go. Went a little further than what they could talk about. They were heavy hearted and sorrowful, depressed. But Jesus said, you stay right here. He said, and while I'm going yonder and pray. And Jesus went a little further. Mark says a little beyond.
Yeah.
But wherever they stopped, wherever those preachers couldn't go, Jesus went further.
Yeah.
And today, bless your heart, I'll tell you there are many good men in this world, but they can just go so far. They can just go so far. They can preach to you about a resurrected Christ, but they can't make it a reality. They can preach to you. I can preach to you about a Christ that lives today. But I can't physically carry you to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing that can take place and will take place because of this man who was a real man who wept and cried and felt sorrowful. The blood of that man has fixed and so designed you a place in heaven that is there regardless of you and your sinfulness.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
Said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. Prayed. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Father, if it is possible. Dear God, from a humanity standpoint, dear God, is there another way? I literally don't want to leave my disciples. I don't want to leave Mary and Martha and Lazarus, whom I've just had fellowship with. Is there not another way? That's the human side of it.
Yeah.
You know, when we come to the time in life when we must say farewell to our friends and our earth below, you know, there's one side of us that wants to hang on just a little longer. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
We want to hang on just a little bit longer, Brother Taylor, but I want you to understand today, Brother Fred Stewart said one time, he said, men from a human standpoint will give all they've got and mortgage the future just to stay a little longer.
Yeah.
And we'll do that. But there comes a time when limitations of man come to a halt.
Yeah.
Come to a halt. And there's nothing beyond that that humanity can do. Jesus said this, Father, let this cup pass from me. This is his prayer. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he comes to his disciples, and he found them asleep. Yeah. He'd been out there praying, said, you watch here with me. Come back, and they're all asleep.
Yeah.
Come back and it's all asleep. Brother, I want to tell you, while Jesus is doing his work, preachers are sleeping. You know that?
That's it.
Preachers sleep. They can go sleep if they want to. Jesus is still doing his work.
That's it.
Still doing his work. Found his disciples asleep and said to Peter, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray and enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, all right, but the flesh is weak. And that is true then, it's true today. It's true. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. Second time. For their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time. Saying the same words, said the same thing he said before, the same words. Then cometh to his disciples and slept and spoke to them. They're still asleep.
Yeah.
Sleep on. Sleep on now and take your rest. The hour is at hand that the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. At hand. He was there. The next verse said, and before he got the words out of his mouth, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. And with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. You see, you go back to Psalms and you'll find this same prophecy that David wrote about, and Jesus, when he got through praying about, reminded him of that. That's two prayers that Jesus prayed. Now, I want you to go to one more place with me. In John chapter 17. And notice this prayer that Jesus prayed. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. I affirm to you today, and I may have said it here, but if I live long enough, I'll say it again. There was an hour that Christ could not pass. It was set before the world began, and devils nor angels could not alter that time element that God had set. In the 12th chapter and 7th chapter of the book of John, you'll find that they would have took him any time they could have. But the Bible says his hour had not yet come.
That's it.
But finally his hour did come. And he prayed. Not only in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not only at the death, burial, and resurrection of Lazarus. But he says this, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. You see, the world would picture a pitiful Jesus just being dragged off to a cruel cross. Brother, I've got something better for you than that.
Yeah.
I've got something better for you. Because Jesus said, Father, thy will be done. The hour's come. I've gone through all of this now. Now the time is here. Thy will be done. If that's what it takes, the wide will be done. And he lifted up his eyes and he said, glorify thy Son. I affirm to you today that as the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, God was being glorified even at the time Jesus was crucified. God Almighty was showing his plan unveiled. God Almighty was showing his wisdom performed. God is showing that here was one who was sanctified to die, that you and I might live. Here was one who had been set apart or chosen as the Lamb that was to bear the sins of many.
Yeah.
Now it's being seen and testified by this man in his prayer.
Yeah.
Testified in this man by his prayer. And there wasn't any words misput.
Yeah.
Very short prayer. You know, Jesus told those Pharisees one time, said, when you pray, you're not heard for your long prayers and your arduous words. You know, I remember what that fellow said when the publican and the Pharisee went up to pray. The Pharisee prayed. Listen to what he said. He said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I thank thee that I'm just not like other folks. I'm way above the standard. And look down here at this Pharisee. I'm not like him. I'm glad I'm not like him. You know what the publican came and said? He smote on his breast.
Yeah.
Stroked himself across the desk. Brother Elmer Kitchens from Birmingham, Alabama said one time, the reason that he smote on his breast, because that's where the trouble was.
Mm-hmm.
Way down deep in his soul, Brother Virgil.
Yeah.
That's where the trouble was. And you know what the Bible said? This man said, Lord, he didn't offer up a long prayer. He didn't offer up arduous words. He didn't offer up some kind of a professional speech. But what he did do was say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. What a prayer
Amen.
That this man prayed. You know what the Bible said? That man went down to his house justified. That man that was looked upon with disdain by the Pharisee went down to his house justified. How was he justified? He was justified in the court of his own conscience.
Yeah.
The court of his own conscience he was justified. But here was Jesus. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, not some flesh. He's not giving him power over some flesh. He's giving him power over all flesh.
Yeah.
All flesh. I tell you, I don't know if a person sitting here this morning is not flesh and blood. I never met a person who wasn't flesh and blood. I want to tell you, Jesus got power over his flesh. Jesus got power over his flesh, got power over his thought, got power over his wisdom. Yes, sir. He began to speak here. He said, thou hast given me power over all flesh.
Yeah.
That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You see the election in that?
Praise.
Brother, I'll tell you right now, there it stands. Without any additions or subtractions, you've given me power over all flesh, and I'm going to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. But he didn't stop there. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I want to ask you this morning, how do you know Christ? Now, you know, the religious world will tell you, I was preaching funeral the other day at Ider, and a man went before me and said that I led this man to Christ, and he learned to know Christ after we had a long talk. He prayed that prayer. This man became a child of God, and went further to say that day his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amens went up all over the house. Amen. I believe I was the only Primitive Baptist there. I was the only one. I was it. Soul in only. I got up and said this. I said, if that man's name is in the Book of Life today, it was there before Jesus ever came.
Yes, it was.
That name was inscribed in God's eternal book.
Yes, it was.
Before men ever graced the earth. You know what happened? Amens went up all over that.
Yeah.
Amen went up all over the house.
Yeah.
You know, bless God for ignorance. Amen. I'm telling you today. I'm telling you today that, you know, everybody when they die wants to die old Baptist. You know that?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to die. They may not live that way, but I tell you, when they die, you want to come down shedding down the corn. Everybody wants to die old Baptist.
Yeah.
Why? Because we preach a doctrine that'll embrace that baby in his mother's womb.
Yeah.
We preach a doctrine that'll embrace the feeble-minded. We preach a doctrine that embrace those that will never hear the gospel, wouldn't know a Bible if they saw it, never heard the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that's the reason today that I preach to make God's people to know that fact and how true it is. And God be glorified.
Yes.
And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. There's not a one of you here today that don't know the true God, I don't think. You know him not because you recognize who he is.
No.
But you know him in an intimate way.
Yeah.
Down deep in the soul. And are stirred under the influence of the gospel. I've glorified thee on the earth. And he did. That the Son of Man might be glorified. You've heard my prayer. You saw the evidence of it. I've glorified thee on the earth. Without exception, I've glorified thy name. This is his prayer. You know what he comes to? I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do.
Yes.
The prayer. Now, Lord, this is my prayer. You've heard my prayer. David could speak like it was already done.
Yeah.
Because in the mind and purpose of God, it was already done.
Yeah.
Just as sure right now as it was before the world began. God, you've heard my prayer. David spoke about it. Today the hour has come. Now, Father, glorify thou me. I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Brother, I want to tell you, it's all done. Amen. It's all done. There's not one thing that we're having to wait on for the Lord to return. Somebody said the Bible's being fulfilled every day. I want to tell you right now, there's not one promise that God Almighty made that would keep him from returning right now.
No.
Not one. Not one. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What a prayer. What three prayers. Can you see in this? What wisdom can you see in a wonderful way in what Jesus has said in his prayers? Oh, I can offer up a prayer. I believe you prayed for me this morning. Brother Virgil prayed a wonderful and sweet prayer. People ask, please pray for me. I got two or three texts this morning coming over here. Please pray for me. Do you know what Jesus said to Peter? He said, Peter, Satan had desired that he may sift thee as wheat. But I prayed for thee. But I prayed for thee. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that Jesus was praying for you? I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother.
Yeah.
Brother, I want to tell you today that Jesus prayed. He had a direct connection with the Father as the eternal high priest.
That's right.
And today, that's the reason we believe in the priesthood of the believer.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you can pray wherever you are, and you don't have to go through a man dressed in black with a collar on.
No.
But I'll tell you how your prayer is heard. It's heard by an high priest that has no end, that death does not come to. We have a high priest in heaven who is not only willing but able to convey our prayers to the Lord God himself.
Amen.
And in that today, we take courage in prayer.
Yeah.
Because our prayer is heard through our one and only mediator, our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I love you all this morning. Thank you for letting me preach. You probably hadn't got as much out of this as I have, but I liked it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Right now. I tell you one thing, that today when the Lord comes down to where we are, we can leave. You know, I've left church house sometimes, Brother Taylor, and I was worse shape when I left than when I got there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you today, I'm not going to leave that way. God, I feel like that the Lord is here. The Lord moved upon us this morning. And what a wonderful feeling that is to be not in the valley, but on top of the mountain in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Thank you, and may God bless you if you're here this morning and want to unite with the church in the way that we receive members. You come, we'll put your case before the church. Sing when you're ready.